Eyes of Vive l'Empereur and En Avant against the hill on which our brigade was posted. They continued to press forward with great determination until the old 50th Regiment received them with a destructive volley, following it instantly with a most brilliant and decisive charge with the bayonet, which broke and sent back in utter dismay and confusion and with great loss this column, which a short time before was all confidence and exultation. I have understood that the first trial of shrapnel shells in the field took place on that day, and that they answered every expectation which had been formed of their efficacy.
Shrapnel's now, of course, a word that we recognise everyday usage, but it was invented by a major called Major Shrapnel in this period, and a single projectile was fired out over massed French forces, and then it burst apart in the air and had a lethal effect, raining down shrapnel on the guys on the ground. So they're struggling up this hill with all their kit, they haven't slept the night before, it's boiling hot, and they're already coming under devastating attack.
Another frightening thing the French would have run into, of course, after that terrifying fusillade of musket fire, the Brits would have done a bayonet charge.
And in this first attack, two French generals were wounded. And what we're seeing here is really one of the first times in the Napoleonic Wars that the French have been catastrophically knocked back. And this sets the pattern for the whole of the Peninsular War.
I thought it the most imposing sight the world could produce. Our lines glittering with bright arms. The stern features of the men as they stood with their eyes fixed unalterably upon the enemy. The proud colours of England floating over the heads of the different regiments, and the dark cannon on the rising ground, and all in readiness to commence the awful work of death, with a noise that would deafen the whole multitude.
And as if on cue, we've been lucky enough to meet a local guy called Jose, who's got some stories to tell us.
I heard from my great-grandfather, born in 1880-something, was a battle there, and was a pine trees. The French came, the commander of Junot, and they killed the Portuguese and some of the British here. And after, I heard, I don't know if it's true, but I heard, the French soldiers came from the pine trees and the Portuguese and the British won the battle because they killed them. And today, 200 years almost ago, the piece of land, the name is Lagoa, Lagoon, because they call it was a lagoon of blood.
So we've come down the reverse slope, we're standing at the church right in the middle of Vimera, off the back of the hill, and from here we can see the valley which runs right through the middle of town, which is where Junot had sent Kellerman's men in the last ditch attempt to drive the British out of this village, and he'd actually said to Kellerman, finish it. And as they arrived round here, it wasn't the British that were finished, it was very much the French, because the French walked straight into a lethal crossfire of musketry.
The French, in great numbers, came steadily down upon us, and we pelted away upon them like a shower of leaden hail. Under any cover we could find, we lay, firing one moment, jumping up and running for it the next, huzzaing and shouting like madmen.
Well, Wellesley then saw an opportunity to throw in the cavalry, and he sent in the 20th Light Dragoons under Colonel Taylor, and armed with sabres, they charged the retreating French, causing utter chaos. But as so often happened with Wellesley's armies, the cavalry went too far, and they found themselves cut off and surrounded and attacked by the French, and they had to retreat.
After a most desperate contest, the enemy has been pursued by a detachment of the 20th Light Dragoons. But the enemy's cavalry was so much superior in numbers that this detachment has suffered much, and Lieutenant Colonel Taylor was unfortunately killed.
That's another wonderful example of the sang-froid, the detachment that Wellesley became so famous for throughout his career, and clearly he disapproves of the cavalry's actions on this occasion. But despite the disastrous cavalry charge, it's a pretty comprehensive victory, certainly here on Vimero, outside this village.
In this action, in which the whole of the French force in Portugal was employed under the command of Andos Junot, the Duke of Abrantes, in person, in which the enemy was certainly superior in cavalry and artillery, and in which not more than half of the British army was actually engaged, he sustained a signal defeat, and has lost 13 pieces of cannon, 23 ammunition wagons, with powder, shells, stores of all descriptions, and 20,000 rounds of musket ammunition. From the number of dead Frenchmen about the ground and the number of prisoners and wounded, I should think their loss could not be far short of 3,000 men. The force which attacked us was very respectful.